The following is a home program on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 8th, 2009, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So, tonight we are blessed with the most auspicious subject matter, Bhagavad Gita as it is, by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He's so kindly blessing us with this opportunity to associate with Krishna directly through the form of His transcendental teachings. Tonight we will read from chapter number 8, text number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Chaitasa nanya gamina Paramang purusham divyam Yati partanuchintayan Abhyasa yoga yuktena Chaitasa nanya gamina Paramam purusham divyam Yati partanuchintayam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Purport. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing, the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyer, but they are not the supreme enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the supreme enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different manifestations and plenary expansions as Narayan, Vasudev, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his features, Narayan, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the Supersoul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of a caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha. That's a pretty amazing boon, if you think about it. This is Prabhupada's boon that he is giving to us. Having a body of the same constitution as Krishna. Can you imagine? Right now these bodies are such a pain. So many problems. Especially as we get older. More and more problems, you see. But imagine having a body that has no problems. We'll never have any problems. That's the body one qualifies oneself for by practicing Krishna consciousness seriously. It's really worth the austerities we go through. It's worth every bit of it. Every austerity we do is well worth it, you see. If at the end we get a body which is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Even the most severe austerity would be worth it. And actually, but we don't have to do that severe of austerity. The bhakti yoga pathway is not so severe. You don't have to give up your wife and family and your job and your apartment and go off to the forest somewhere and live on roots and berries for the rest of your life, leaving behind your mobile phone and your laptop and your internet connection. Just sit out there in the woods till you leave your body. You don't have to do that. Bhakti yoga system is so nice thing. You can remain comfortably situated with your wife, your children, your job, your friends, your social life. But just make it Krishna conscious, that's all. It's all we have to do. Just like here we have a wonderful social life, you see. But it's Krishna conscious. We have the best parties of anyone, actually. They have their parties. It's such boring things, you know. But as you hear what so-and-so did, you know, it's just ridiculous. The conversations that go on at those parties are so uninteresting, you see. Gramya katha. But in the Krishna Consciousness Society, we talk about Krishna. And you say, well, why would that be anything different than talking about some rock and roll by Michael Jackson now, the big news, Michael Jackson. What's the difference talking about Krishna and talking about Michael Jackson? You see? The difference is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and discussions of him, because he is absolute, any discussion of him is actually him. In other words, Krishna is, if in a mood of pure devotion we are talking about Krishna in this room right now, then actually Krishna is here. He's actually present, you see. And to the degree of our purity, we'll actually be able to perceive him, you see. Actually, Krishna is always present. But our eyes are out of focus. I mean, grossly out of focus. So as we purify our consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, by serving Guru, by serving Vaishnavas, then our vision gradually becomes more and more focused. Things start to become clarified until finally we are able to see God, you see. God is already present. And actually we're already seeing him, but it's a blurred version. We're seeing a blurred version of Krishna. The Virat Rupa, you see, that's a blurred version. But by this process of Krishna Bhakti, and gradually we gain, as we were discussing last night, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena. Our eyes are becoming purified, our vision is becoming corrected by this Premanjana, the ointment of love of God. Applied through the ears, this is a different sort of eye ointment. We apply it through the ears. And we take it into our heart deeply, these topics of Krishna, much chitta, madgita, prana, bodhi, yandak, paraspatam, as we take it deeply into our hearts, then our vision becomes purified. Instead of our vision being out of focus, our vision becomes more and more in focus, and that day will come. Actually, Prabhupada ordered me, I love this. He gave me many personal instructions, but one of my favorite ones is he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That's what Prabhupada wants me to do. I said, only me? No, I was just a pot washer in the kitchen, doing a little preaching on the college campus. So he wants every member of his cone, actually, to become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So are we meditating like that? Are we thinking, well, I have to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face? Do we think like that every day? And we're chanting around and we're going observing the morning program at the temple or at home or sleeping through the morning program. Are we thinking that I have to purify my vision, become a pure devotee of Krishna? That's what I'm trying to do? Are we thinking like that? If you are, then you're on the right track. And if you're not, you need to get with it. Because that's what Krishna Consciousness Movement means. It means to cultivate pure devotional service. We have to awaken that dormant love of God sitting there within the heart. Why? Because Krishna wants us to. Krishna does not want us to remain in this cycle of birth and death. We are his beloved children. Those of you who are parents here, if your children became lost, wouldn't you be in anxiety? Calling the police, my child is lost, please find my child. And where is my child? So much anxiety, you see. Krishna is feeling like them. That we are lost from his above. We are his beloved children, but we strayed away, you see. So he's feeling anxiety. It is greatly painful for Krishna that we have veered away from his kingdom. We've veered away from devotional service to a life of sense gratification. It is greatly painful for Krishna. So we should not torture Krishna. We should not torment Krishna by remaining entangled in sense gratification. We should come back to Krishna. Make him happy. And that will be our happiness. To whatever extent you make God happy, to that extent you will be happy. You cannot find any happiness beyond them. You might think you are happy. I have money, I have fame, I have prestige, I have power. It is simply illusion, maya sukaya. There is no happiness there. I don't care how rich, how famous, how powerful you may be, how talented you may be, whatever you may be, what kind of car you drive. I don't care what neighborhood you live in, what kind of clothes you wear, what brand of cigarettes you smoke, or whatever, you see. You can never be satisfied unless you please Krishna. I don't care what country you live in, what kind of passport you carry. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Simply you have to learn how to please Krishna by your thoughts, by your words and deeds. Actually, if you can please Krishna by your thoughts, then your words and your deeds will automatically fall in line, you see. Because whatever you're thinking about, sooner or later it's going to come out of your mouth. But you're thinking like that. And whatever you're thinking, you'll act in that way too. So you can just bring the mind under control, everything else will automatically be there, you see. So that's why Krishna is saying here, he who meditates on me, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me. You see. That proper thinking is the real key to being guaranteed to come to Krishna. Just imagine if we could rig up some kind of device, you see. A little sensor that we could put in, a chip we could put in your, attached to your skull or something like that, that would see exactly what you're thinking at every minute. And then we put it on the internet. So anybody who wanted could see exactly what you're thinking at every minute. Would you have to hide in shame? Well, I was thinking about having sex with that girl, and I was thinking about this and that. You see? Would you have to hide, embarrassed, thinking out that I'd like to kill that person? You see what I'm saying? Our thoughts should be so pure that we could, that the whole world could see what's going on in there at every minute, and we wouldn't have to be embarrassed. You see what I'm saying? That's how pure our thoughts should be. So we should, each one of us has to make that honest assessment of our own. I'm not asking you to, tell me what's going on in there. But you have to monitor yourself. Each one of us has to monitor ourselves. Honestly look at ourselves and honestly understand where we're at in Krishna consciousness. And do what's necessary to advance on the pathway. We, each one of us, has to take responsibility for our going back to home, back to Godhead. If you don't take responsibility for your deliverance, who will? Well, you say, my guru will. But you have to cooperate with your spiritual master. You can't remain a nonsense and expect that he'll take you back to Godhead. That's like Christianity, All I got to do is accept Jesus. I can do anything I want, I'll go back to Godhead, you see. It's like there's that one joke, that one man, one sinful man, he decided, he was a little nervous what would happen at the time of death, so one Sunday he went to church, and he put $5 in the collection plate. So at the time of death, sure enough, he's being dragged to hell by the Yamadutas, and he said, wait a minute, you can't do this to me. I gave $5 in church, you got to take me to heaven. So the Yamadeva said, well, I don't know. You've been pretty sinful, you know. We've been noticing how sinful you've been. But just to make sure, we'll go check out, we'll go ask God and see what he says. So they took him to the gate of the kingdom of God, you know. They left him outside the gate. Wouldn't take him in, of course. And they came out with that $5 bill in their hand. What did he say? What did he say? He said, oh, give him his $5 back and tell him to go to hell. So, it's not a true story, it's just a joke. But the point is that your consciousness, you see, will make you or break you. It's not just by getting initiated that now I'm saved, you see. Not just by doing a little service one day at the temple, you know, putting $5 in the hundi, you know, and I'm saved. One has to actually develop the consciousness of an inhabitant of the spiritual world. The Christians are very fond of saying they're going to go back to God because they accepted Jesus. But what do they do on Sunday after church? They all go to McDonald's. Not all of them, but many, you know. They go to McDonald's for their double Sunday cheeseburger. So just imagine if they did go back to the kingdom of God. Somehow or other, by hook or by crook, they got in the kingdom of God. When they got there, they'd say, oh, Lord, it's so wonderful to be here. We're so happy, you know. We're all, the whole family's come. We even got the family dog. I mean, we're really happy. And, oh, by the way, where's the nearest McDonald's? Well, sorry, we only have Govindas here, you know. So, the point is, to be qualified to enter the spiritual world, you have to have tastes. You have to have the tastes of a Brijabasi. You understand? If you don't have the tastes of a Brijabasi, if you have the tastes of a Karmi, you wouldn't be happy there. You wouldn't want to be there. Even if you somehow got into Goloka Vrindavan, you wouldn't be happy. Because there's no Karmi type stuff going on there. It's just Brijabasi stuff going on. You understand? So if we want to live like Karmi and think, well, I've taken initiation, I'm somehow getting my rounds done, so, you know, everything's fine. But no, we have to develop the mood of a Brijabasi, the Brijabasi spirit of always hearing, chanting, remembering, glorifying, bowing down to the lotus feet and serving the devotees. That all, that absolutely unlimitedly amazing, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous personality of Godhead known as Krishna. We really have to become Krishna addicts, really. We really have to, Krishna mania, you know, Krishna maniacs. You think Beatlemania was something. Of course, maybe you weren't then, but I was there when Beatlemania happened in America. It's amazing. I mean, it was the girls that were into it. It shows you the difference between male and female mentalities also. They say now that we're all completely the same. We're wired exactly the same. But who was going wild over Elvis and who was going wild over the Beatles? It was the girls. Now, do we see men doing that for some female singer? There's a difference. I mean, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying we have different mentalities. Of course, if you become a devotee, then you're transcendental and all of that. But I'm saying on the material plane, there is a difference between a female and a male mentality. That's why the Beatlemania people, the girls were going wild over the Beatles and screaming. And then the same thing in the Elvis Presley concerts, you see. So there's a difference. It's not the same exact mentalities. We do have different psychologies, you see. But again, when we become Krishna conscious, then it's all on the same platform. We're completely on the same platform when we become completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. And there's no difference because we're all devotees of Krishna. We're not male, we're not female. So anyway, I remember coming back from school on the bus, and all the girls were just going, "Wow." All they could talk about was the Beatles. "Which one do you like best?" "Well, I like George." "No, I like John. He's the best." All you could hear about was Beatles, 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 you see. Beatlemania, they called it. So Goloka Vrindavan is Beatlemania multiplied 10 billion times, you see. Everyone, what is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everything. Everyone just talking about Krishna. They're mad after Krishna. "Wow, I was with Krishna this morning and this happened." And everyone's just completely crazy about Krishna. That's all they can think about. That's all they can talk about. So if you want to go back to Godhead, then that's what we have to do. We have to get that mood of just wanting to hear about Krishna, nothing but Krishna, and talk about Krishna, and think about Krishna, and bow down to Krishna, and cook for Krishna, and clean for Krishna, and earn money for Krishna, and spend money for Krishna. Everything, Krishna, 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 Krishna. You see? That will qualify us to go back to God. If Prabhupada explains, even if we have a slight tinge of material desires, you see, Krishna is not going to force us to come back to his abode. He wants us to be happy. If we still have a material desire, say, "Okay, you can take birth again if you feel that desire. I don't want to make you miserable by ripping you away from your desire." Krishna is very liberal. You have a material desire, okay, you can take birth again in the material world. You can gradually come to me after many lifetimes if that's what you want. So if we're fed up with all the sufferings of material existence, the intelligent thing is to cultivate pure devotional service right now, starting tonight. If we haven't already committed ourselves to very seriously cultivating pure bhakti at every second, then now we can make that commitment right now. Henceforward, at every minute, I want to be in a mood of pure devotional service. 24/7, you see. Devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to make you fully happy and satisfied. So, it doesn't require anything except the desire. The understanding has to be there, and then with that understanding you can say, "Yes, I have a desire, I desire to become a pure devotee." You see, I don't want to remain mixed. Karma Mishra Bhakta, Jnana Mishra Bhakta, Yoga Mishra Bhakta. I simply want Ahaitaki Bhakti. Krishna, please bless me, I can achieve it as soon as possible for your satisfaction. It's not sense gratification. Some people say, "Well, the desire to surrender to Krishna, that's another desire. You're supposed to be desireless." They argue, you see. You Hare Krishna people, you're not free from desires. You have a desire to please Krishna. So you're not desireless. But that's not the authorized understanding coming from the Bhagavatam. According to the Bhagavatam, the desire for pure devotional service is akam, desirelessness. Those who desire the so-called desirelessness of merging into Brahman, that is called mokshakam. They have a desire. And then the other position is sarvakam, all material desires. So there's akam, mokshakam, sarvakam. So actually the desire to surrender oneself to Krishna means desire, pure desirelessness. You have no personal desires for your own satisfaction. Just like Christ said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." I have no personal desires anymore. See, that is pure desirelessness. I have no personal desires. Even I don't want liberation, necessarily. Whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants to keep me in the cycle of birth and death perpetually, I have no objection. Simply, I want to please him, that's all. You see, that is desirelessness. Of course, that's the qualification for going back to God at the time of death, that is the qualification for actually awakening to the spiritual world, even while you're within this very body. Do you know the pure devotee doesn't have to wait for death to go back to Godhead, because he already lives in Vrindavan. Even while he's maintaining his body on this planet, he is living in Vrindavan at every minute. Wherever Prabhupada set his foot, that was Vrindavan, you see. Prabhupada explains, actually, pure devotee doesn't have to even go to Vrindavan from pilgrimage, because he's already in Vrindavan. And he goes to Vrindavan to purify Vrindavan of the sins deposited there by all the, you know, Kanishta Adhikaris who go there on pilgrimage. He goes there to purify it. He personally doesn't need to go there because he's already living in Vrindavan at every minute. So we don't have to wait for death to go back to Godhead. We can actually enter into Vrindavan even in this present body. You see. As Prabhupada told me, qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. If you're seeing Krishna face to face, are you in the material world? You may appear to be, but actually you're in Vrindavan. If you can see Krishna face to face, you're in Vrindavan. So that's available for every one of us. If we simply follow this wonderful verse of the Bhagavad Gita, he who meditates on me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, and deviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. So now I can ask if there's any questions. It's your last chance on this visit. Yes?
So you're mentioning about the mind being so uncontrollable, it's thinking all kinds of thoughts.
Yes.
So just had a question. If you think something like bad or evil in the mind, is it less offensive than doing something offensive?
Yes. In previous ages, to think it was as bad as doing it. In this age, thinking it is not as bad as doing it, but it's not that you're scot-free. Thinking it is also contamination. Thinking, if you keep thinking it, then in Vedic psychology we understand thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. There's four stages. So, one should nip it in the bud, as they say. As soon as you see the thought there, you should nip it immediately. Because if you don't, if I'm thinking, oh, sex, you see, and then I'm thinking, well, I really feel like having sex. That's the second stage. I'd like to have sex. In the fourth stage, you have sex. Of course, for producing Krishna-conscious children, that is religious. But sex besides that is irreligious. That destroys our Krishna consciousness. So, that is one of the... That is a leading attraction here. Yan maitanadi grihamedi sukham mitu cham. So, one has to learn not to think about sex pleasure or any other type of sense gratification. One has to train oneself not to think about it. So how do you do that? You just turn the mind off? No, you cannot turn the mind off. The mind is active. It is constantly active. The impersonal meditators, they want to make their mind blank, but that is completely bogus. You see? You have to fix your mind on Krishna. So we really have to learn seriously do that. As soon as we wake up in the morning, somehow, how can I fix my mind on Krishna? Quote some verse, Chan Hare Krishna. You see, find some way to immediately bring the mind to Krishna and keep it there the whole day. That's what we have to do. Any other question?
Say then Prabhupada says the pure devotees then go to Golok Vrindavan. Even they go for purify.
Purify
whom?
Purify the Dham. of the sins deposited there. When the mundaners go to the places like Vrindavan, they get purified of their sins, but those sins then become, the holy place becomes contaminated with the sins of all those people who deposited their sins there. But the pure devotees go, and then they purify the dham of the sins deposited by the Kanishtas. You understand? Prabhupada describes this somewhere in the Bhagavatam Purport. I forget where. If you really want to know more, send me an email, and I'll look it up and send you the quote. So you want to study it more. I read it in the last two or three months.
Prabhupada describes about the Ganga.
The same thing is said about Ganga too. Ganga, same thing is true of Ganga and of Vrindavan, same principle. Yeah. That's right. Questions more? Everyone satisfied now?
Could you please expand a bit more on that?
That verse. Yeah, when one's eyes become anointed with the ointment of love of God, then he can see that beautiful form of Shyam Sundar within his heart. Prabhupada has expanded that also. Yeah. You see him externally as well, because when you can see Shyam Sundar within, you will also see him without. You will see him everywhere. So, that process is essential. If one wants to actually become satisfied and happy, one has to do that. One has to qualify himself to see God within the heart. For the average person, the mundane person in this world, the super soul is present, Paramatma, forearm form of the Lord. But when you become a pure devotee, then that Paramatma form will instead become Shamasundra. Instead of Paramatmanara, you'll have Shamasundra manifested in your heart. So that desire, if one has the desire to be able to see God within your heart, it's very nice. But you can't do it by brute force, you have to qualify yourself. As Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati used to say, don't try to see God. But try to act in such a way that God will want to see you. Just imagine some man working at Ford Motor Company, you see. Some ordinary worker on the assembly line. He thinks, well, I would like to meet Mr. Ford. I have some questions or suggestions for him about Ford Motor Company. I want to meet him. So he goes to the secretary, and they just kind of laugh. Yeah, right. You can't, an ordinary worker, he can't go meet Mr. Ford. So it's not possible to say, well, I want to see God, let me see him. It doesn't work that way. But if that same employee, he does some meritorious activity on the assembly line, there's some accident, he risks his life to save a co-worker's life, you see, then Mr. Ford will come down from his office. He will give him a gold watch and give him special recognition, you see. So even that way he can see Mr. Ford. By acting in such a way that Mr. Ford wants to see him. So we cannot gate crash our way into Krishna's darshan. We have to act in such a way that Krishna wants to come to see us. You see. That's the key. Perform some meritorious activity that attracts Krishna's special attention. Of course, that's not easy to do, you know. Krishna is a pretty big man. But there is an insider secret that Prabhupada revealed to us in London and how you can get Krishna's attention. He told us on the holy day known as Radhastami, the special secret of how you can get Krishna's attention. He said that you pray to Radharani. He said, Mother Radharani. You see, Radharani is also Mataji, you see. She is our Mataji. You pray to Radharani, Mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. See, Radharani, she's a soft-hearted woman's nature, you see. Woman is more easily approachable. And hard and cold, steel, hard-hearted man, male, you see. Woman's soft-hearted nature is more approachable. So, we approach our mother, Radharani. My dear mother, please tell about me to your Krishna. Now, you know that nobody can please Krishna more than Radharani. In all of the existence, there is no one who comes even close, not even Rukmini, to being hot, to pleasing the Supreme Person, you see. So, Prabhupada explained what Radharani will do when you approach her in that way. She will say, my dear Krishna, just see this devotee. He is better devotee than me. So you can imagine what Krishna will think. You see, oh. Because nobody can serve him better than Radhika, you know, Radharani. No one can touch her, while her caliber of service. But now Radhika is dearmost. Radhika, she is saying, my dear Krishna, just a devotee has come. He's a better devotee than me. You think Krishna will be interested? Oh, yeah. Let us see. Someone greater devotee than you. Let us see who is this devotee, you see. So that's the insider's secret. You have to beg Radharani, you see. But actually, it's built into our Maha Mantra. Hare is doing that already. We say, Hare, we're addressing Radharani. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And some may object, but how you can say Hare Rama if Hare is Radharani? Someone could object, but that can also be taken as Sita. So. Hare can also refer to Sita Devi. Or Rama can also refer to Krishna, because Rama means the supreme enjoyer. So Rama is a name for Krishna also. You can take it either way and be okay. But not that we think, you know, Sita, Krishna. That would be Rasabha. So, that's the secret. If you want to qualify yourself in Krishna's darshan, you have to beg Radharani. Of course, there is extraordinary mercy, even for people who have material desires, who got the darshan of Krishna. It's an amazing story told by Prabhupada. Amazing story. Would you like to hear?
Yes.
There was one thief. And he was looking for, you know, something to steal. The thieves, that's how they make their living, right? They have to look for a good place to steal something. So he noticed there was a Bhagavatam class going on. All the devotees are sitting there. He said, let me check out this assembly. Maybe I can, you know, some. He decided to come in and see if he could steal in the Bhagavatam. Right in the middle of the class, you know. He just came in to check it out to see what he could steal in the class from someone of the people listening to the class, you know. Maybe grab some money out of their pocket or whatever. So anyway, he sat in the class, pretending like he was interested in the class, you know, so nobody would notice that he was a thief. And then he heard the Bhagavatam, the speaker, was talking about this boy named Krishna, who lived in the Vrindavan forest. Actually, who lives, the speaker was saying, who lives in the Vrindavan forest, who is present in the Vrindavan forest. He's a little boy, he wanders in the forest without any parental supervision, loaded with valuable jewels. And this thief went, wow. A little boy with no parents around, loaded with valuable jewels, wandering all alone in the forest. He got really excited. He said, I'm going to go there, I'm going to become a millionaire overnight. So he headed out for Vrindavan. I'm going to find that little boy and I'm going to get those jewels. So he is wandering all, you know, all walking to Vrindavan many days, just meditating. I would find that little boy, Krishna, I would get those jewels. He got to Vrindavan, you know, it's a huge area. How many of you have been to Kamyavan in Brajmandal? It's a long way, isn't it? I just took a jeep one time. It's hours just to get it to. Do you imagine he was walking all the whole Brajmandal? How much walking he was doing? How many days and weeks he was wandering in Vrindavan, all over Brajmandal, looking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Finally, Krishna was so kind, even though he was simply desiring wealth. Krishna was so kind that he revealed himself to that thief. And sure enough, the thief said, Krishna, you have so many valuable jewels. Can you give me some? And Krishna, he played the role, not of the Supreme Lord, but as the little chastised son of Jasodamata. Krishna got scared. No, no, no. Mother Jasoda will scold me. No, 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 no. The thief again implored, can you give me some? In this way, he actually became purified. He became a pure devotee just by that. And then Krishna said, all right, you can take. So Prabhupada explained, somehow just have that desire to see Krishna, you see. For any reason, if you have a desire to see Krishna, he was saying like that, that eagerness to see Krishna. But we have to know what is the actual means of seeing him. And that is to attract him to want to see us. So there's a little elaboration on Pramanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina. It's the most wonderful verse. Can you imagine a more beautiful verse than Pramanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina? It's interesting, there's an English word unguent, which means ointment. It shows you that actually English is coming from Sanskrit. Anjana, unguent. Any other questions? Everyone satisfied now? Fired up, cultivate pure bhakti. Tell Maya to take a hike, never come back. Yeah?
And you said that in Krishna consciousness, by practicing bhakti, the male and the female, they all become transcendental. So does that mean that there is no designation male or female anymore left?
Does that mean what?
There is no designation male or female.
No, because we are not pure. If we were completely pure, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Do we actually read in the Krishna book how the men and women had these festivals and they were throwing yoga at each other and the women's breasts were showing through the dresses and nobody was agitated? It's in the Krishna. We can't imitate those pastimes. Because we are still within the modes of material nature, to keep ourselves pure and that we don't fall down from the sadhana bhakti. We follow certain rules and regulations. We have, just like the woman, she should always be seen as mother. We call the woman as mother. Prabhupada told me how the woman addressed as mother. So in this way we make these distinctions, even though we're not the body, because we're still contaminated by the influence of the modes of nature. We follow certain rules and regulations. You see, I may hug a godbrother, but I won't hug my godsister, you see. Does that mean I don't love her as much as I do my godbrother? No, that because I love her, I don't hug her, you see. Because that can cause sexual agitation, you see. So these principles, they are followed, you see, Brahmachari principles. You say, well, I'm not a brahmachari, I'm just a grihastha. So think about that. No. We have five kinds of brahmacharis. There are brahmachari brahmacharis, brahmacharini brahmacharis, grihastha brahmacharis, vanaprastha brahmacharis and sannyasa brahmacharis. Our movement is a brahmachari movement, you see. Actually, the Vedic injunction is you should not be alone with any woman except your wife, even your mother, sister, or daughter. I remember one devotee said, that's ridiculous. How the Bhagavatam can say that? You can't be alone with your daughter. But you know what? One of my godbrothers fell down and had sex with his own daughter. He had to go to prison. He had sex with his own daughter. Can you imagine? You see. So dangerous this material energy is. So, yeah, these principles are there to protect us. They're there for our protection. It's a razor's edge. One little slip, and you cut your throat. It's very easy to... there's an old song. It's called Losing is an Easy Game. It's so easy to fall and so hard to climb. So we've gone through how much endeavor we've made to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now we have to protect that Krishna consciousness that we don't fall down. Therefore we have, just like the butter, you don't put it by the stove. You put the butter by the stove, it'll just melt, be ooze out, and it's melted all over the place. It'll be melted all over the place. You keep the butter in the refrigerator, you see. So the women, they are like fire, and the men, they are like butter. So we keep that separation. That doesn't mean in our hearts we are cold. No, that is our love, by keeping that separation. To protect. That is our love.
Having all this knowledge, yet we see there is some difference.
Having knowledge and...
Having this knowledge, we see that many devotees are saying that we should not discriminate. We are on the transcendental platform. So there should not be any discriminations against the Matijis or the males.
No, there should not be any discrimination against anyone. That's a fact.
They should be addressed the same way.
Addressed the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a in North America. There's a whole big thing now. A lot of the Matajis were saying, "You have to call us Prabhu now. We don't want to be called Mataji anymore." Sometimes Prabhupada did actually use the word Prabhu for the ladies. Sometimes. That's an encouragement that you're equally as good as your brothers. But according to Sanskrit grammar, it's incorrect. Prabhu is a male word. The female form would be Pravi. Actually, Prabhupada personally wrote me when I was a brahmachari, every woman should be addressed as mother. So, but mother is also Prabhu. It's not that she is less than a Prabhu. Mother is Prabhu also. The son has to obey his mother. Even Krishna took his Guru Mata, Sandipani Muni's wife, as Prabhu. He obeyed her order. She said, you go to the forest and you gather firewood. Guru Maharaj. Guru Mata instructed Krishna to go to the forest. So Krishna took, Guru Mata is also his Prabhu. So that the mother is also Prabhu. She is also our master, you see. One is meant to be obedient to father and mother both. So she is also our Prabhu. About to say that it's because Prabhupada did encourage sometimes by calling the ladies Prabhu, that's encouragement. But that, and so, all right, I have no objection. But if they say, you can't call it Mataji anymore, then I object. Because I was directly ordered by Prabhupada to do. Then I will object. If you want to address a woman as Prabhu, I have no objection, because they are another type of Prabhu. But if you say to call them Mataji is wrong, then I will object. Any other questions?
In spiritual life, we have this identity. Each one of us, we are individuals. We have our own identity. If you see in a close-knit environment, be it in between a husband and wife or between parents and children, that identity is somewhat difficult to...
You better wait. My hearing is so weak that you're being drowned out. Okay.
Like how we are, each one of us, our own individuals, we have our own identity.
Mm-hmm.
But when we live in a very close environment, for example, between a husband and a wife, or parents and children, how do we maintain, or how do we remember that these people are individuals, they've got their relationship to Krishna, and yet this is our relationship now? Like, especially between superiors, it's very difficult.
How do you remember when you're dealing, how do you remember they all have a relationship with Krishna? I don't understand the question. How do you understand that those people you're relating to have a relationship with Krishna? Is that the question?
She's saying that in the spiritual world we have all individual
right.
identity.
Mm-hmm.
But in this material world we are all together like a family or husband and wife.
Yeah.
So how can we see them that these are individuals and...
How do we can see them that they have a spiritual identity? The initiation, we give spiritual name to help you remember. You see? This is a servant of Krishna. This is a servant of the great Vaishnavas, you see. That's why we have spiritual names. So-and-so Das, so-and-so Dasi. That's to help us remember. This person has an eternal identity in the spiritual world. Does that answer your question? I think it doesn't. So help me answer your question better.
This is more in specific when we deal with our superiors. Yes, they all have a spiritual.
In the movement or in your job.
Within the movement.
Oh, okay.
Within the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Mother and father, the way they treat me is like I'm their daughter.
Okay.
We are individuals.
Are they initiated devotees? No, okay.
But we know that we are individuals despite our relationship with them. And sometimes that blurs.
Sometimes that...
Blurs.
It
blurs.
Blows up?
Blurs.
Blurs. Okay. Yeah, you down unders don't hit the R's like we do in America. Blurs, yeah, that's how we say it in Texas. All right. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, when you're dealing with people who don't see eye to eye with you on what the actual nature of the self is, how do you please them? And it's a real challenge, actually. Because they have a whole different vision of who you are. They don't see you as the eternal servant of Krishna. They just see this is our daughter. So they have a false conception of who you are. I mean, you are their daughter in one sense. But that's only in the relative sense, not in the absolute sense. So we have a conflict here between a relative identity and the absolute identity. That's the conflict. So how does one act in one's relative identity without losing your connection with your absolute identity? Would that be your question? Okay.
Oh, thank you. That's exactly
okay, good. Now it's not so blurred. Yes. The key is this. You have the vision of their absolute identity. They don't. You want to save them. You want to help them awaken their absolute identity. So what you do is you act in that relative identity in such a way that it will awaken their absolute identity. You understand? You have to think, how can I use, they're attached to me as their daughter. How can I use that attachment to engage them in Krishna's service? That's what I did with my parents. They have a natural desire to serve you and to please you. So, don't say, oh, it is false. No. And become even a better daughter than you were before. Reciprocate with them even more lovingly than you did before you became a devotee. You understand? Become even more warm and sweet in your relationship now. For them, for their benefit. So their hearts melt in your association. You understand? This is the way. Don't deny, oh, it's false. Get out. No. Now you become the... Actually, I always say that if one becomes Krishna conscious, they become the best everything. The best husband, the best wife, the best daughter, the best friend, the best employee, the best boss, everything the best. When you become Krishna conscious, you become the best everything. So you should be the best daughter in the whole world to them. They go, wow, I have the best daughter in the whole world. You see, there's no daughter more wonderful than my daughter. You have to be like them. Be so sweet and so wonderful that just, we don't know about your Hare Krishna, but it must be good because we've never seen you so wonderful before in our whole lives. We saw you in this way, you understand? Use it as a way to attract them to Krishna consciousness. That's what I recommend. Aranyakashipus. Oh, I'll give him a lot of prasadam then. Find out, even Aranyakashipu likes to eat. Find out what's his favorite food and make it, well, of course, no meat, you know. You know, whatever they like the best, cook it for him. But, you know, you give them all these special treats. You know, if they like cheesecake, make him cheesecake. You know, you got my point. But there's some way to it. I mean, I remember, here's an example. It's a good example to answer your question. Tamal Krishna Goswami, my beloved godbrother, he decided, he got an inspiration to go back to school and get his degree. So he went to Southern Methodist University there, and he was working under a professor, Dr. Cleaver, who's a complete materialist. So it was amazing the way Tamal Krishna Goswami charmed Dr. Cleaver. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. To the point where Dr. Cleaver came to his Vyasa Puja ceremony and fanned him in front of all the devotees. Can you imagine? A mundane professor, his professor from the university, came and fanned him during the Vyasa Puja. Tamal Krishna Goswami was expert, let me tell you. I was really amazed to see how he charmed Dr. Cleaver. I mean, to the point, Dr. Cleaver was crippled. He had to walk with a cane, you know, but Tamal Krishna Goswami, he shopped for the most, he's some special exotic, I mean, he got the most amazing cane as a gift to give it to Dr. Cleaver. And he was expert at doing this, Tamal Krishna Goswami. So you just have to really have a desire and be really intelligent about it. And Krishna will help you. Because Krishna wants them to be saved from birth and death. And he's quite willing to empower you to do that if you have a desire to be empowered to do that. He's got to beg his mercy. Krishna, I want to save these people. Please bless me, I can do it.
Regarding the parents, what if they ask a daughter or the son to marry the Karmi?
Yeah, I deal with that a lot with my leaders. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you got to be a rebel, what can I say? They may hate it, but in the long run they'll be happy. You can't just be their little puppy dog anymore if they want to marry you to a karmi, you know. He's got to say for him, well, if you want me to marry so-and-so, I will remain like a mirror the rest of my life. I will not ever get married. I refuse to ever get married. Oh, the shock, a scandal. My daughter refuses to get married. But if you let me marry an ISKCON devotee, then it's all right. You just, as long as you got to put your foot down, you know. Got to put your foot down. Yeah.
If you want to culture your devotional life, and you want to become rasika, like expert in all aspects of devotional life, so in going there are certain, you get interested in certain few things and certain you start neglecting, like if you have to do deity worship, then you have to do book distribution or cooking and do so many things.
No, whatever instruction your spiritual master has given you, you carry out that instruction. It's not that you have to do everything. If he sends you to the book distribution department, you do that. If he sends you to the deity department, you do that. Whatever instruction he has given. And he's put you under your local authority also. So you follow your authorities. It's not that you have to do everything, necessarily, unless that's your service. Sannyasi is supposed to be expert at everything. But whatever service you're given, you do them. First class. You understand? Any other question? Yes. Harinam, you live now in Auckland?
Yes, just 6 months now.
Yeah. I know Harinam from years ago in Fiji. My old Harinam, I remember him from Fiji. Okay, go ahead.
Maharaj, I don't have a question, but I have one suggestion for she asking about that. There is an example for the before our temple, in Sri Krishna Kalia, before about 32 years before. This is the story about my god brother. He was before, he's also drinking and what you call eating meat and everything. And before our temple, then there is our devotee, he's meet him. And as soon as they meet him, then he tell him, that person, to whatever you do, if you eat meat, just say Hare Krishna, then eat meat. Mm-hmm. If you drink alcohol, just say Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Maharaj, after that, that person is becoming a devotee of Krishna, a whole family.
Very good.
I can't give his name, but he's my god brother.
Very good.
He's from the Fiji. You know,
very good. Well, Prabhupada said that the drunkard, if he will think the taste of the wine is Krishna, he will become the greatest yogi. Prabhupada said that. Very nice. Anything else? Question? So, the question, well, is run dry. Oh, okay, go ahead.
How could a
grihastha
be best situated in Krishna consciousness while carrying out his duties in his life, like maintaining his family, children?
How to be the best devotee while doing your material duties at the same time?
Yeah, as a grihastha.
How can a grihastha be well
situated? Grihastha. Oh, grihastha. Okay. Yeah. Yat karoshi yadasnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat. You simply have to do it all for Krishna, you see. So you have to raise your children to be Krishna conscious. Don't raise them to be devotees of Porky Pig. You know, I've seen householders. I visit their home. And I go in. They have the TV on. The child. They're watching Porky Pig and what was the other guy? Goofy. Yeah. Warner Brothers Looney Tunes. They raise their child on Looney Tunes. If you raise your child to be a pure devotee, and train your child to sit in your lap and hear the Bhagavatam class and hear the Gita class, not to run around and whoop and holler in the back of the temple and creating a disturbance. Train your child to be a pure devotee. And then your grihastha life will be, Prabhupada said, Paramahamsa. He said, the Krishna conscious grihastha, he is in the highest order of sannyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a huge family. What was it, 12 children, was it? 12? Huge family. And he was had a very responsible position with the British government, but he was a first-class Paramahamsa, you see. Because he was always fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So you have to engage your wife in pure devotion. You have to engage yourself in pure devotional service, engage your wife in pure devotional service, engage your children in pure devotional service. And this way, your household or life will become glorious, you see. You'll become an acharya within your household life. We need grihastha acharyas who are ideal examples of Krishna consciousness that will revolutionize this planet. Anything else? Time is running out. Okay. Yeah, we got to catch that plane tomorrow morning. Okay then. So we'll look forward to coming back if Krishna blesses us with that opportunity. Come back and once again be enlivened by your wonderful association. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.